All right, well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see each and every one of you survive the night. It's going to be interesting to see what the evaluations say about bedtime. I tell you, you guys are a rowdy group. It's all right, we had a good time, didn't we? Thank you, Mike. Thank you. All right, well, this year, in answer to, well, every year we do an evaluation, and part of the evaluation last year, part of the results was that you men wanted more teaching, and less free time, more teaching, and that was a blessing. And so what we decided to do is add a couple seminars taught by your pastors. I believe it's important that the pastors have a role in this time, because that's who you spend time with as a church. That's who you interact with. That's who knows you the best. And so we have incorporated three seminars into our conference. The seminars have generic titles, just purposely allowing each pastor to have freedom to be able to communicate what the Lord's leading him in that area. I have the opportunity to speak on a man and his God. A man and his God. Pastor Mark Kelly here from Faith will be a man and his church. And Pastor Appel, a man and his family, right? Or home. Man and his home. All right, so I look forward to the remaining portion of our day. The seminars are going to be less formal. At least that's the intent. We're going to try to incorporate dialogue and some questions and that kind of thing into them as best as we can. So we're going to begin our time with the word of prayer, and then we'll get started. Lord, I thank you for getting us up this morning. It is a good morning, and thank you for giving it to us. Lord, I thank you for that promise that great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. And I am so blessed by that, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the things that we are learning and we've been taught just last evening. I thank you for the conversations that are taking place. And Lord, just trust that you are blessed, that you smile upon this time. And now, God, I just want to state I'm humbled by this position and responsibility that I am in at this point. And I ask that you'd minister despite my inadequacies and who I am. And I ask that in this time that you would really guide and direct us to understanding you and how we are to interact with you and what's important in our lives in relationship to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you a question this morning. Where in the Bible do you see man fearing God? The first time that you see man fearing God. Genesis, where? That's right. Did you hear that? Genesis chapter 3. Go ahead and turn in Genesis chapter 3. That was my dad, by the way. Good job, Dad. I was not that quick. I didn't realize this. I didn't see this, and I thought this was very interesting. And we're going to start here, because as we talk about a man and his God, I believe just like we learned about last night with Job, you saw Job as a man who feared the Lord, and let's look at Genesis chapter 3. I think most of us are familiar with this account, but I just want us to see it here. Let's pick it up in, verse 7. Basically, this is right after they eat the fruit. Okay, verse 7, the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." And God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that thou shouldest not eat?" And the man said, "The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." And we could go on with the blame game, right? Here's an observation that I'd like us to make as we look at this text, where we first see man fearing God. Why is man fearing God? Why? All right, not everybody at once. Let's raise our hands. Yeah, Keith. Yeah. Right. Isn't it interesting here that the first time we see a man fearing God, it is in direct association with sin?
Why do we fear God? Because we fear his punishment? Or do we fear what particularly do we fear?
Right. Well, and that's what I think we're getting at, because I think what we're looking at here is he's fearing God because he now is understanding he has a different understanding of who God is, because now he's understanding himself as a shameful sinner who is hiding and trying to cover himself, and now here comes God, who now is not just somebody that they're walking in the garden with, but somebody that is completely holy, and there's a drastic difference between them now. There's a huge, if you will, chasm now between man, who has chosen to sin, and a holy God. Now, God hasn't changed. God was holy. He always was. He always will be. But what happened? Man has changed. Man has sinned. And there is a fear now that they have in that, yes, maybe there is a fear of punishment, but there is certainly now an incredible respect, or if you will, wow, look at who God is and who we are. I can't help but be afraid. You see, the holiness of God, men, is going to drive us to fearing Him. And how do we understand the holiness of God? Well, we understand the holiness of God because that's not where we are because of our sin. And we understand that because we read about God, we understand Him, and we see His holiness, and we understand we're not there. And He's so much further beyond us. And it drives us, and it should drive us, to a fear and respect of God. Now, I also want to make another observation here. God, as He is in this story here, in this account, He is walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the insinuation here is that this is something that has happened previously with God and man. In other words, God is walking in the garden, where are you? Why are we not enjoying this time together? Now, of course, God understands and knows all these things, but He's putting the question out there, emphasizing something's happened. There's something that is drastically different. Now, notice now the link here between fearing God and walking with God. Do you see that? No longer is man walking with God. They're not. They are cowering in shame. They are afraid. Now, I want us to go to Genesis chapter 5 now. Genesis chapter 5, you have a genealogy. Between Genesis chapter 3 and Genesis chapter 5, you have Genesis chapter 4, you have Cain and Abel. And I believe one of the reasons that we have that account and that story of Cain and Abel is to reveal to us what happens when a person or a man does not fear God. Okay? Because what we're seeing here is Adam and Eve, they're afraid, they see God's holiness, they understand they are shameful, they are naked. They understand that. Now, Cain and Abel, they have their children. Cain and Abel come, and they have an obvious understanding of what worship means, right? What was it? From the text, in Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel, they were to what? They bring offerings. All right? Now, they brought offerings, but God must have made it clear, and I believe He did in Genesis chapter 3, what kind of offerings they were to bring. What? A blood sacrifice. We can say that because which one did God accept? Abel's, right? God accepted Abel's sacrifice and He did not accept Cain's. And so what we're observing here is two individuals now that are coming to worship God or coming to God, but one is choosing to come on his own terms, the other is coming according to God's terms. And so, which one is respecting or having a fear of God? The one who comes on God's terms. Now, interesting, as you look at this text in Genesis chapter 4, what happens with Cain? Of course, he kills his brother Abel. And then God confronts him on that. I believe God gives him a chance for repentance. Cain refuses that. And I want you to observe here in what happens in verse 14 of chapter 4. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me. In verse 15, the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slays Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. In verse 16, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. What happens to Cain? He's not walking with God. He walks apart, away from the very presence of God. Again, what we're seeing is a lack. He's not fearing God, and so there's no walk there. And so Cain no longer is walking with God. Now we come again to Genesis chapter 5, and we have Enoch. Enoch was mentioned last night. And I want you to see in verse 21 of Genesis chapter 5, Enoch lived 65 years, begot Methuselah, and Enoch, what? Enoch walked with God. After he begot Methuselah 300 years, he begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Men, as we talk about you and God this morning, the Scriptures emphasize for us the importance that we walk with God. And what have we seen so far? What can we observe so far, just in the first 5 chapters of Genesis, about what that means to walk with God? This is a question. Be in fear. Be in awe. Yes? What else is there? Yeah.
Good. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Walking with God, I believe we can learn here, is having a true understanding of your sinfulness. Do you deal with your sin, men? Do you? Are you honest enough to admit that, when you sin, and I say honest enough, I think we ought to say we're all sinners, but how seriously do you deal with sin in your life? I mean, this is key. This is important. To deal with sin. We all do it. We all sin. You know, in the New Testament, we understand what we're supposed to do as Christians in regards to our sin. Confess. Confess it to the Lord. 1 John 1:9. What do you do? What are you doing about your sin? I think that is of utmost importance, because if you're not dealing with your sin and understanding your sinfulness, then you're not going to have an accurate understanding of God. You're not going to have a fear of God, because when you understand your sinfulness, you understand and you see the disparity between where you are and where God is, and it emphasizes how holy He really is. He's a holy God. Do you understand what holiness means? What's holiness? It's set apart, sanctified. Okay, we're using some really flashy Christian language here. What, you know, to be holy, what's that? Yeah, it's special. It's set aside. It's something that's sacred. You know that there's no sin in God. The scriptures say His eyes cannot behold evil. And yet, we are able to walk with God. Well, it's an incredible enigma, isn't it? But it's the beauty of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's just keep going. In Genesis chapter 6, we begin the story of Noah. In Genesis chapter 6, in verse 9, we see these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah, what? Noah walked with God. Now let's just look at Noah's life. What stands out about Noah's generation, about the world that Noah lived in? Wickedness. Absolute wickedness. And here we see Noah, and God marks Noah as one who walks with God. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 goes hand in hand with our discussion this morning. I don't know if you've followed that, but Hebrews chapter 11 follows these characters that we've been looking at already. And Hebrews chapter 11 is highlighting men and women of faith. Verse 4, we see Abel and Cain, that comparison there. In verse 5, we see Enoch. He was translated because he had this testimony that he pleased God. In verse 7, we have Noah. By verse 7, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with what? Fear. Fearing what? Fearing God. Well, why would he fear God? How was God manifesting himself in Noah's day, showing himself to Noah? His power, his might, his judgment. Powerful judgment was coming.
And Noah is confronted with that, and he is driven to fear, to fearing God. What did he do? Moved with fear, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah, he walked with God. As we consider this concept of fearing God and walking with God, I believe it's important for us to understand that fearing God opens the way for us to walk with God. Having that fear of who God is and understanding, you know, when we're talking about fear, and some of us, maybe we have a misunderstanding of what we're talking about, but it truly is an awe, an absolute respect because of who God is, because of the object, because of who God is, His holiness, His power. And you look at you, yourself, and you see God, and you see there's a big difference. And it should drive you and I to fear, to respect, to awe. And as you fear God, it opens the way for you to be able to walk with God. Now, I'd like to go to the New Testament and book of Romans. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, middle of chapter, Apostle Paul talking about how all are under sin, verse 9. And then verse 10, he picks up and he gives a description of the condition of man or the depravity of man. There's none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. And there is no what? No fear of God before their eyes. Now I bring this out because I just want to emphasize something. I want you to understand that all are under sin, and as they are described here in this text, when you're under sin, under that bondage, when you are apart from Jesus Christ, you have no fear of God. And so with that in mind, gentlemen, if we are going to call ourselves of Christ, in Christ, Christians, believers, then we need to understand that this fear of God is to be something that marks us. Because it's that fear of God that then will open up the opportunity, the door, for us to walk with Him. Now go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And what we see here is we're going to see Jesus Christ, and then who we are, what is our response
to what Jesus has done for us. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul talks about Jesus Christ in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is a crescendo. If you, as you're reading this, Apostle Paul is crescendoing here. And now, verse 12, "Wherefore?" Okay, so he's crescendo talking about Jesus Christ and what he has done, how he is God in human flesh and took upon him the form of a servant. "Wherefore," verse 12, "my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with" what? "With fear and trembling." Fear and trembling. You know, we like to be comfortable, we like to have fun, we like to relax. But let us keep in mind something, that we do live in a wicked and perverse generation, as it says in verse 15. And we have been called to walk with God, but that happens only after we are fearing God. And so, gentlemen, we need to be serious about this aspect of our lives, about who we are and about who God is. That should be something that marks our every day. That should be something that when we wake up in the morning, as we go to work, who am I? Who is my God? Who are these people that are around me? And who is God? And understanding that great difference, and then understanding, you know what? Because of Christ, I am saved. But even as I am saved, I am told to work out my salvation. What that means is to live it out with fear and honest reverence of God. That should be marking our lives. Do you know anyone like that? Do you know anyone, and we don't want to exalt man, but there are people in our lives, I believe, that fear God. I don't want any names to be given, but tell me, how do you know that a man is fearing God? He's following his commands. Good. Anybody, anything else you want to add to that? How do you know a man is fearing God? How he's living? Okay. Harold? Good. Not self-reliant. Yeah. Keith? Name of God. Names of God, yeah. Good point. There's another. Yeah. Yeah. Confess.
How about when it comes to making a hard decision dealing with a person, and they fear God, a great God, to handle that situation?
Yeah. You know, is it Does it come easy, fearing God? Doesn't, does it? Not at all. Just had a conversation yesterday. There's a gentleman that he feels as if someone is he's offended by someone else, and he doesn't know what to do. And how do I handle that? And of course, scriptures give us instruction in Matthew 18 and confronting and and doing that with privately and just following that whole thing. But as we got talking, we realized something, that it's hard to do that, isn't it? Hard to do that. Well, what does God tell us to do? The Bible tells us we're to admonish one another. Be at peace with all men. And so, yeah, we'd rather just sweep things under the rug and just hope things blow over. But you know what? God's name is at stake. And my challenge to this gentleman was, listen, this is all for the glory of God. And if God's church, if a Christian, if God's name is being tarnished by some sin or some things that are happening, then you got to step up and say something. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good. So a man is, a man is fearing God because what's he doing? He's following God's commands. He's following God's commands. And gentlemen, as you follow God's commands, you will enjoy a walk with God. And I say that seriously, enjoy a walk with God. Enjoy it. There's not going to be that shame there. You're not cowering, but rather you're in awe. Because you're dealing with your sin. And you're doing what God says to do. If you read on in Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Don't miss the emphasis of that. It's for God's pleasure. I mean, you realize, don't you, that if you're going to fear God and walk with God, you are following His path. He's not following yours. You're going for His pleasure and His glory. It's not for you. That's praise God for that. You know what? That puts us all on the same playing field. We're all aspiring to please God and walk with Him. And we all have the same scriptures. It's here. "Do all things," verse 14, "without murmurings and disputings. Why? That you may be blameless and harmless." Job, how about it? Think about what we learned. Job, "that we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." What is the emphasis here? Well, the emphasis here is, yes, the walk with God. And it should be blameless and harmless. I once heard one of my professors describe this idea of being blameless, harmless, as if you have a piece of pottery or whatever, and it has no handle, so you're unable to really grab a hold of it. And that's how we are to be. We are not to have any handles where people can say, "Aha, I see this about you," or "I see that," that they can grab a hold of. But rather, we should be blameless, harmless. Because men, and we can't, we don't have to argue about this. We live in a wicked, wicked world. But Paul emphasizes, we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you what? You shine as lights in the world. And so, as we fear God and walk with God, it's going to appear as a bright light in the midst of darkness. Is that you? Is that you? Because we all live in this wicked and perverse generation. It's darkness. And you are to be shining as a light. As a light. Jesus told us that. You are the light of the world, didn't he say? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Matthew chapter 5. Yes, you're shining. And then what's verse 16? Holding forth the word of life. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And so therefore, you holding forth, this is what you obey. This is what you live. This is what you present to the world. God and His truth. The Word of life. Indeed, that was the whole message of Jesus. God sent Him to the world, and He declared, He was the Word, and He offered life in the midst of a wicked, wicked world. I just want to close by reading what the Song of Solomon's conclusion was in the book of Ecclesiastes. We know Song of Solomon as a good king or bad king? Well said. Yeah. Isn't it? It's interesting as we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon writing this. Yes, he loved the Lord. He was a king, and he loved the Lord, and he did go astray. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, if you read that, you see vanity, vanity, vanity. Why? What's the worth of it all? And you see, his end conclusion comes to this in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be bad. So, what did we learn today? Fearing God opens the way to a walk with God. And a walk with God is an obeying of God and His commands. So, a man and his God. I believe God desires each and every one of us to walk with Him. And I love how that picture is in the Scriptures. You see that with Enoch, you see that with Noah, you see that walking with God. And what I picture us, you're going side by side together. You're heading down the same path. You're in unity together. You are in fellowship together. You are enjoying one another. You are truly walking with God. And gentlemen, that's possible for you and for me, just like it was for Noah, for an Enoch, that you and I walk with God, that we lead our families, that we lead our churches to this idea, walking with God. But you know why that's going to only happen? As you fear Him. And understanding what fear is understanding I'm a sinner. Understand dealing with your sin. And as you recognize your sinfulness, you will recognize and see with greater clarity the holiness of God. And so, gentlemen, deal with your sin. Deal with it quickly and promptly and openly with God and with others. And as you do, be in awe at the holiness of God, at the forgiveness and the grace that God gives to us. Any thoughts or comments as we just close out our time? Just 2 minutes here before we head out for breakfast.
I was just thinking, you mentioned Solomon, but what do we think? Good, good, bad. And I also thought it was Father David. Mm-hmm. What do we think? Good thing or bad thing? And thing is, who was after God's own heart, but yet good thing, bad thing. He was a murderer, adulterer.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
What do we think? Well, it doesn't really matter. What does God think?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, in Psalm 96:9, I don't know if David wrote this or not, but it says this: O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before Him all the earth. You know? I mean, this is a concept throughout the Scriptures. And we need to be walking with this. This idea of fearing God. Any other thoughts?
Just talking about walk with God, I thought on a very light note compared to that. If I was to take walk with Henry, when you have a good relationship, that walk is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if Henry picks on me for something, then you go for a walk, and in the same instance with God, when you have a right relationship with God, and you walk with God, it's a pleasant thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't have a right relationship with God, you walk with God. But I guess having a good relationship makes for a good walk. You know,
mm-hmm.
Having a good relationship makes for a good, makes a pleasant fellowship. That's, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so fearing God correctly is going to put you in a position of having a good walk.
Yeah, good observation. Keith.
Yeah. Well, part of that picture of working under Jesus,
mm-hmm.
living for God. And then it ends with, whereby we have received the kingdom which cannot be moved.
Mm.
Let us have faith, whereby we serve God excessively with reverence and God with fear. And then it ends with, for our God is a system. Word.
Yeah. Right.
Let us walk moment by moment, being totally aware of who we are, but being totally aware of who God is.
Right.
And when we stumble along the way, remember He's right there, and immediately turn to Him.
Mm-hmm.
And we can walk before Him with open faces, without shame, because what He's done for us.
Yeah.
Yes, we hate what we've done,
mm-hmm.
but we hate it for just a moment, and we turn to the one who is immediately able to take that burden away and allow us to continue walking.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy wants us to go and cower in the corner for an extended period of time and not walk in fellowship with our God. But no matter what we do, we can take care of that away.
Amen.
We just need to remember and look to Him, and immediately the fellowship is restored.
Yeah, good. Good. All right, well, good time together, gentlemen. We're going to share more of that throughout our day today. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. Breakfast is at 8:30, and then our next session starts at 9:45 with Micah. I mean, please be in here and ready. at 9:45. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for our time, and I thank you that you have given this opportunity to us men. And God, I just ask that you would take what we have learned today and use it as you see fit. God, I ask that you would help us, Lord, to deal honestly with our sin and just increase our awe and our fear of you. I pray, Lord, for those that are yet to speak today. I pray that you'd give them strength and wisdom and clarity as they prepare and are ready. And I pray, Lord, that our activities, everything we do, conversations will be honoring and pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name, amen.